And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day without your sweet inspiration?
Another Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on the West Coast, and it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 Media. This is Tammy Jackson welcoming you once again to 60 minutes of sweet conservative inspiration. If you'd care to do so, interact with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. I try to keep an eye on that. You can follow me at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J, one of the shorter names on Twitter. No reason not to follow me. My first guest tonight is Perry Marshall. Perry Marshall is an author, speaker, electrical engineer, and world-renowned business consultant in Chicago. With a decade of research, he brings a fresh perspective to the 150-year-old evolution debate. Yes, indeed, we are going there tonight. Perry's book, Evolution 2.0, Breaking the Deadlock Between Darwin and Design, harnesses a communication engineer's outsider's perspective to reveal a century of unrecognized research and discoveries. Perry Marshall, welcome to the Tammy Jackson Show, and thanks for making time to be on.
It's great to be here. We're going to have a good time. We have a fascinating story and whole bunch of things will make your brain cells pop out. So it's going to be a good time.
Oh, no. And we'll call that mutation.
That's right. Your brain is going to mutate. By 7:30 Pacific time, your brain will have mutated already. We will prove evolution inside your own skull.
Oh, there you go. I love it. And full disclosure, all my listeners know this. I'm an evangelical and a creationist. I'm also the daughter of a very nationally well-respected scientist. But your book and suppositions, they're not entirely at odds with either what you would call neo-Darwinism or biblical faith. So it's you've got something different going on entirely.
And I've got something different going on, yes.
Yes, thus the title, Evolution 2.0, Breaking the Deadlock Between Darwin and Design. Now, Perry Marshall, would you tell people your background a little bit? Everybody that has not read your book, Evolution 2.0, Breaking the Deadlock Between Darwin and Design, tell them, you know, how you were raised. You come from a tradition of faith and questioned that somewhat. Would you tell us a little bit of your story?
So I was a pastor's kid in Lincoln, Nebraska, and we grew up in this very conservative evangelical environment. And when I left college and moved to Chicago, I started going to Willow Creek, which is the biggest church in Chicago. So, you know, I come from an evangelical Christian tradition. And my younger brother, Brian, now Willow Creek compared to where I grew up was almost probably sounded liberal. I don't really think they are, but you know, compared to where I grew up, like they were really right wing. My brother just kind of stayed on that super, super conservative track. He went to Master Seminary in California and he graduated in 2000.
Wasn't that John MacArthur's seminary?
Yes.
Yes.
This is okay. John MacArthur's seminary. Okay.
Right.
And he graduates, he moves to China, he becomes a missionary and an English teacher. And 4 years later, he's almost an atheist.
Yes.
And he and I were both thinkers, very intellectually oriented, and he is pummeling me with questions. And I thought I'd heard a lot of faith questions, but you haven't gotten both barrels until you've got it from a guy who knows Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic. He knows where all the bones are buried, and he's just dismantling the whole entire thing. Okay? Like, I am up to my eyeballs. And this was actually going on for a couple of years over email. But now I'm visiting him in China and I'm realizing, oh man, like he has left the building, man. And I'm trying to grab on and he's just pulling and he's kind of like dragging me against my will. And I also know I have to be intellectually honest about this. Like I can't just throw bumper sticker slogans at people. And so I'm genuinely confused about a lot of things. And I start feeling like I'm losing my bearings. And in the middle of this argument, I go, Brian, look at the hand at the end of your arm. Now, it's a fine, fine piece of engineering. And I'm an engineer, buddy. So, like, do you actually think that that is a random accumulation of accidents? And he's like, hold on, buddy. Hold on. And he just pushes right back. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. Like, they really got him, you know? And he's just given me this Darwinian story, neo-Darwinism. And, well, you know, all you need is accidental copying errors in DNA and, a few million falcons flying around for a few million years, and they're automatically going to be better. They have to, because it'll just naturally happen through survival of the fittest. And he's given me this whole explanation, and I stopped and I said, okay, I don't think this really makes sense to me as an engineer, because in engineering, I've never seen that happen anywhere. However, I know that there's a lot I don't know. And I know that a lot of biologists would agree with him, not me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop arguing with him right now, and I'm just going to button my lip, and I am going to go home, and I am going to find out, because I am an electrical engineer. I've spent 5.5 years in engineering school. I've designed all kinds of things. I know how to read a scientific paper. I understand the scientific method. I've gone very deep in some areas of science. I'm going to let science decide this for me. And maybe I'll be an atheist when this is all done. And maybe, you know, we'll go to Thanksgiving dinner and we'll be the two atheists, and everybody will pray to their invisible sky daddy or their flying spaghetti monster. And we'll sit there and we'll just, you know, bite our lip, or we'll snicker or something like that, because we're so much smarter than that. I don't know, but here we go. And I flung myself into the void, and really I said, all right, here we go. I've played patty cake with enough theologians in my life, and I've been around in my life. I know the little games they play. Okay. But you can't play those kind of games in engineering. You can't just switch positions on Ohm's law in engineering, you know? Right. And so I know this stuff. I'm going to do this. And down the rabbit hole I went. And that's how this all started.
Yes, it's very interesting. I obviously got the copy of your book today. Your assistant sent it over. I should have asked for it sooner. So I was racing through as much as I could. I got through, I think, 9 chapters. And
oh, that's good. You're
very
good.
Very quickly. And if you knew how much I read, you'd be surprised that I got that much done, because, well, I read a lot, and I have stacks of books that I have to get through because I'm interviewing authors all the time. But I, you know, didn't even realize, you know what, I don't even have the book. I have all this other information and things. I like to read the book itself and see what's going on. So I read about your discussion with your brother. I was going to ask you what conservative college or seminary he went to. So, of course, I know John MacArthur, and I know Master's College, and it's a good school. What I do want to ask you is, what does your brother believe today?
Well, he's an agnostic. And if you go to cosmicfingerprints.com/BRYAN, you'll see a video that we shot 6 months ago where he tells exactly where he's at.
Now, I've been on your website, and I didn't see that video because I was looking at everything else and reading here and there. And then I started looking at the book and trying to read that as fast as I could. And I missed that video, but I'm glad you told that, because I will go and look at it. And would you give us that URL again, please?
cosmicfingerprints.com/Brian with a Y.
Okay. Okay.
And so Brian is, 6 or 7 years ago, he said, Perry, thank you for not letting me become an atheist. And here's what he meant by that. You know, he's still searching, he's still exploring, he's still on his journey. But what he realized was that for about the first year after losing faith, he came dangerously close to just flipping over to a different form of fundamentalism, which is what the new atheism actually is. And after a while, he kind of started to chill out a little bit and go, you know what? I'm not going to react with all this anger. I'm just going to kind of sort through this and process through this. And so, you know, our relationship has remained very good in all of this. I think some Christians, they don't really know how to handle this. And I got to give them space. But you also have to understand is I needed space to sort this out for me as well. And I took the science route. He processes things a little different. But really, what I found was so profound, I became appalled and aghast at what both sides had done to this issue. I think both sides have committed egregious sins, and both sides have not bothered to find out what is really going on, and or not bothered to tell you. And the reason I wrote Evolution 2.0 was I found 70 years of absolutely rock solid research that cannot be denied. It's in the literature. You can find it in Google Scholar. You can find it if you read the right books, and it does not support the story that either of the well-known sides are telling. And I said, I have to tell this story. This is the biggest untold story in science.
Yes, and by the two sides, you're speaking of somebody that is an avowed Darwinian or somebody that's an avowed creationist and thinking that never the two shall meet. And I'll tell you right off that I absolutely concur about microevolution, and the problem I have is, of course, with macro, but you know, that doesn't mean I'm not going to be gracious and listen and read your book. And I've already started that. And I think it's very fascinating. And the problem I have is where with natural selection, you know, that's at work, you know, it does work. I understand about the DNA, and you get into the DNA, which is really fascinating. I want people to read about that because people call it DNA code, and you know about reading code. And so you liken the two and you showed the similarities and the differences, and it is fascinating. Now, a lot of people know more about DNA. I had a roommate in college who was getting advanced degrees in genetics. I have other friends that are biologists, doctors, etc. So I know that there are people that understand this, but there's a lot of lay people who do not so much. But to me, I look at DNA and I think it's miraculous. And to me, that's a fingerprint of God himself, that something so amazing as DNA even exists. I mean, I look at that and I see God's fingerprints all over everything. So I look at things, and I was raised to be a critical thinker. My dad also, not only did he teach at a prestigious university at one point, and then he left that to come back to the West Coast so we could be back in Oregon, and he was a research scientist for his whole career. So I was raised with that kind of guy, but he also taught apologetics. So, you know, he taught me a lot of critical thinking. And so I appreciate getting lots and lots of facts. I want to talk about natural selection, but before we do, I want to play a clip. Now, did you listen to it before the show, Perry?
I didn't, so you just didn't. Go right ahead.
Okay.
I can handle whatever you throw at me. So.
I know. Yeah, it's a clip that's really interesting about natural selection, and I'm just gonna set it up as that. I'm gonna have the producer start it, and it's two minutes and 25 seconds. Then we'll come back and talk about that.
Perfect.
So, natural selection. What is it? Does it have the kind of creative potential that we need for all of this?
Natural selection is basically all about killing off things that aren't fit for the environment. So if you're a finch in the Galapagos and you have a really tiny beak and the only food available to you is really big, hard seeds, mm-hmm. you're going to die. And that's exactly what we observe. And so we can watch over the generations as the beak size of finches change in the Galapagos. but they're still finches, they're still birds. The notion that natural selection can generate all of the diversity we see, that's not been demonstrated. Mm-hmm. What we find most often with natural selection is that natural selection does a lot of fine-tuning. So right over here, we've got these oryxes, right? Beautiful creatures and very, very pale colors. The wild range of the oryx is right on the southern end of the Sahara Desert. And so you can see, yeah, their coloration makes sense. If you get a really dark-colored one, that's going to be really easy for predators to find. Mm-hmm. And so they end up being these really beautiful light colors. And that's an example of where selection would take a variation and turn it into an adaptation.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us back to the notion that a really exquisite design in the beginning...
Oh, absolutely.
...has provided these creatures with the ability to survive and to change for their benefit.
Absolutely. So the ability to be able to change your coloration like that, to be able to fit an environment, that's got to be built into the system before it starts. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, natural selection and random variation can do amazing things. I mean, it's pretty astonishing the kinds of changes that we can see, but we don't see one kind changing into another. All we see are variations that happen within a created kind. Mm-hmm. So there's a felid tree, which has all the cats on it. There's the canid tree, which has all the dogs on it. There's the ursid tree, which has all the bears on it. There's the equid tree with all the horses on it. Each individual created kind then has its own individual tree, so that you end up with something like an orchard or a forest.
Was from biochemistry that he was speaking about action. You selectively adapt, but typically they stay within. So you have the Ursus kind, the Canaan kind for the dogs, etc. So for each different kind, there is a natural selection, a mutation as they're mutating to their environment that helps them survive. And what I wanted to say or ask, Barry, is what do you do with natural selection and random variation as far as it doesn't seem to show any kind of change from one creature to another creature entirely? Did you hear me, Perry?
My line cut out just a second. So I was asking the same question, and here's what I found. Natural selection subtracts, it doesn't add. Okay. And a very common phrase in the biology profession is natural selection explains the survival of the fittest, but not the arrival of the fittest. And so everybody would talk about natural selection. I'm saying, okay, so that's your subtractor. Where's the addition? And the big untold story was, where does the addition come from? And here's where the addition part comes from. It's the fact that cells cut, splice, rearrange, and re-engineer their DNA in real time, literally sometimes in minutes, in response to what's going on around them. So my brother was giving me this evolution story where, yeah, you know, there's these random copying errors and there's falcons flying around and they just get better and better. And I said, well, I've never seen this happen in engineering. What I found in biology was something I had never seen in engineering, which was code that rewrites itself. And this is going on all the time. Like the news story came out a week ago. Astronaut goes out into space and they're sequencing his DNA in space. And then he comes back and they sequence his DNA again. His DNA changed when he went into space. And then when he came back, it changed again. So it's almost like three versions of DNA: before, during, and after. And his cells in his body adapted, okay? And there was no natural selection because he didn't die. Now, that one little thing is a huge clue as to a whole bunch of stuff that most people are not being told when we start talking about evolution.
Wow, wow. We've got to take a quick break. This is interesting stuff. We're obviously only going to be able to scratch the surface. I'll be back with my guest, Perry Marshall. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robart Companies. They are a true custom firearms and firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. You can find them online at robartguns.com. Every week, and I read these, people are sending Robart testimonials. And let me tell you, these are satisfied gun owners. They send their prized firearms into Robart to be given new life. They're returned to them, and these pistols and rifles have been customized, refinished, etc., and they now have perfectly running firearms that are pretty much showpieces. I read these testimonials every week. I am amazed. So, whether you need to give your worn firearm new life or you want a new custom pistol or rifle, check out RobarGuns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
On the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
Awesomecast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's Awesomecast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
405. This is Tammy Jackson, joined with my guest, Perry Marshall. If you're just joining the show, engineered, world-renowned business consultant in Chicago. He's got a book that's out that will make your head spin. And yes, I'm talking about an interesting topic. His book is Evolution 2.0, Breaking the Deadlock Between Darwin and Design. Perry, you told me that you had a really, really interesting story to break, and why don't you have at it?
So, after doing some research, after going home after this argument with Brian, I figured out DNA is a code. It's a digital code, just like Ethernet. I wrote an Ethernet book in 2002, and all of the other codes are designed. Therefore, it sure looks an awful lot like DNA is designed. And so I started putting out this argument. In fact, I gave a talk at Willow Creek, biggest church in Chicago, called If You Can Read This, I Can Prove God Exists. And it it went viral on the internet, and so it started getting me in debates with very virulent atheists, and so I was backing this guy into a corner, and he got very frustrated, and so he went to the largest atheist website in the world, which at the time was infidels.org. And he went to their discussion board. So it was the largest atheist discussion board in the world. And he posted a link to my talk. And he said, be nice to this Perry Marshall guy while you rip him to shreds. And so I went in there and I defended myself. And it was 50 of them and one of me. And I was completely outnumbered. But I defended myself. And I kept telling them, show me a code that's not designed. All you need is one. And they could never come up with one. And this went on for 7 years. It went on from 2005 to 2012, and it became the longest running, most viewed thread in the history of that discussion board. And
wow.
It continued to go until that discussion board got shut down. And in chapter 23 of my book, Evolution 2.0, I tell the whole story of what happened with that. And it led me to create a technology prize. And what happened was I would put this argument out there and people would go, no, you're wrong. And I would say, no, prove me wrong. And it would go around in circles. And one day I said, Perry, wait a minute. You have to show them how to prove you wrong. So I wrote a specification. I said, here's how you prove you got a code without designing one. And I put it on my blog and I said, if you can solve this, I will write you a check for $10,000. And you know what happened?
What?
Silence.
Silence. It was a cliffhanger. What happened? Silence.
I didn't know that would happen. I didn't know what would happen, but they went silent. And so when my book came out, one of my friends said, Perry, you need to take that prize and turn a $10,000 prize into a $10 million prize. And I said, okay, and where do I get this money? And he goes, you go to investors and you offer them patent rights to whatever they discover. And I'm like, oh, that could be interesting. And so my goal is $10 million. I have an actual $5 million prize right now.
Wow.
And if you go to naturalcode.org, it'll redirect you to the site. It's the largest crowdsourcing site for technology discoveries. It's called HeroX.com, and there's prizes from NASA and Coca-Cola and Facebook and a whole bunch of companies. We are the largest prize on HeroX, $5 million. I have the leading geneticist from Harvard Medical School on my judging panel. I have the leading physiologist from Oxford University on my judging panel, and this is real. Now, maybe somebody can figure this out, and maybe they can't. If they can't figure it out, then it would maybe suggest that that code is designed. If they can figure it out, it's the biggest leap in artificial intelligence and probably basic science in the last 50 years. So either way, it's a win-win. And so I've really tried to turn this around, take an entrepreneurial approach to the problem, reduce a philosophical argument to an engineering problem, and say, this is the problem that needs to be solved. Solve it, but don't make up stories about warm ponds and lucky lightning strikes and happy chemical accidents.
Frank Peretti would call it from goo to you by way of the zoo.
Well, right. And look, you know, life, you can say anything you want about life, but it's not goo, right? It's exquisitely engineered digital code. And that's how your eyes get built. It's how your hands get built. It's why you have a hand at the end of your arm, okay? And furthermore, cells cut, splice, rearrange, and change their DNA, just like the astronaut going on in space. And this happens all the time. It's happening all around the world, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and it doesn't happen by accident. The world is a purposeful place, and people need to know this. And these are facts. These are not Perry's little prognostications. Everything in this book, I've got 350 scholarly references. I have endorsements from two Oxford professors, one at UCLA. I've got a guy from Harvard and MIT on my judging panel. I am satisfying the most rigorous scientific protocols in writing this book and putting this prize together. I'm not playing a silly little game. We're dead serious about this, and we're just looking for the truth.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. Once again, Perry's book, Evolution 2.0, Breaking the Deadlock Between Darwin and Design. It's very interesting. I will indeed finish it. And I you know, am telling people they ought to read this. It's very, very fascinating stuff. Perry Marshall, thank you for taking the time to be on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a real privilege, and you know, grace to you. Have a great, great evening, and take care.
You too. You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with the author and former football player turned entrepreneur, Ron Davis Sr. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Camera Security Now. Camera Security Now sells and installs surveillance and access control systems for businesses nationwide. Their turnkey surveillance and access control systems provide an excellent management control tool going far beyond safety and security benefits. Camera Security Now can handle your largest surveillance projects while still providing easy-to-reach personal service with upfront pricing on itemized quotes, remote access to your surveillance system with no monthly fees, and same-day virtual site visits. You can rest assured your security needs are in capable hands. For more information, visit CameraSecurityNow.com or call 800-440-1662 today. CameraSecurityNow.com. Sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
On the 405.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tammy Jackson Show, and now I'm joined by my guest, Ronald Davis Sr. Ronald Davis Sr. is a left that game in his prime to just endeavor. The Make an Impact Tour will bring pro athletes from various armed services, various backgrounds, student athletes, taking time to be on the show.
Okay, how you doing, Tammy? Glad to be involved. I definitely appreciate the opportunity to join you today.
That's great. Hey, Ron, we were introduced by a businessman on LinkedIn. I liked the sound of what you were doing. I thought it was pretty interesting and wanted to have you on the show. Why don't you tell us your story, Ron? Where were you raised and what was the situation? When did you start playing football?
Well, I came in from Coffeyville, Kansas, is where I was born, small town in southeast Kansas. I actually didn't start playing athletics until I got a little older. I wasn't really that big of a person, pretty thin and frail. And so my mom was always scared about me, you know, being out there with the boys that were bigger than me. And, you know, long story short, I started working out. I got into high school. I was a basketball player predominantly. And then by the time I became a sophomore, I had got a chance to go out and play football. I made All-State as a junior. I played a couple other sports as well, and I did well in those sports. And somehow my love ended up being football, and it got me a couple of scholarship offers around the country. And from there, I guess life really took off. I love sports. It was something that gave me a lot of opportunity to see the world. It gave me an opportunity to do things differently. I got to travel at a young age. I had a lot of struggle as far as how I conducted myself, just because I didn't have any examples. I didn't really have any male figures, and certain things that we need, you know, back then weren't really accessible to me. And then I got to go to college. And then from college, you know, we just maturing and kind of learning the difference between passion and business, because there is a difference when you're in college as an athlete. It made it easy with the transition from sports to the professional world.
Well, and let me ask you quickly, what position did you play?
I was a wide receiver. I like to catch passes and score touchdowns. So that it suited me well with my attitude.
Yeah. And you scored a lot of touchdowns. How many touchdowns did you score when you, which league were you in when you scored, what, 54 or something?
Yes. So inside that business world, the NFL, the CFL, everybody doesn't get that specific opportunity. You know, there's different things that go into it outside of how fast you are and outside of how big you are. And so I got opportunity to be in the NFL. I got opportunity to be in the CFL. It didn't work out. I ended up finding my sweet spot in arena football, and it took off. So within I think I played about 27 total games in my arena career, and I had about 54 touchdowns. So basically every third time that I touched it, I was doing some type of dance and celebrating.
Wow. So now you left football and you started an organization that would mentor kids. Tell us about the organization.
Yes. What I ended up having to do with myself was come to reality of what I truly wanted. And my goal was to be an NFL athlete. And since I had got the chance to kind of experience all the things that I had looked for and things of that nature, I was really okay with moving on with my life. So the Optimum Prep Student Athlete Development Program was basically every single thing that I needed as a child. The people that I've played with, some of the athletes that I went to school with and just been able to network with over my 10 years of being in sports, they said the same thing. And so, you know, getting to travel the world and start doing research and start collecting data, start visiting different areas in the U.S., start visiting different schools, different communities, and really finding out what these kids were going through across the country became an even greater passion than what football was for me. And so being able to implement these things and kind of see what was going on in our society ground floor, not just paying attention to the news and media, not just sitting up here reading the paper, but really going in and putting my money where my mouth was exactly what it took for me to understand better. And so creating the program, we decided to seek a different form of village. You know, most people think about the village as being their family members, their teachers, things of that nature. Well, we wanted to find out the village of society. So we reached out to Congress. We reached out to your mayors and your city council members. We reached out to the military. We reached out to different corporate businesses in different areas that had that likeness to kids and that wanted to be able to help their own communities. And it slowly developed. And when I say slowly, I mean it literally took us, about 4 years to really understand where we were headed. And, of course, as you know, technology and social media and things of that nature was running fast with us. So what we've been able to accomplish today is only really a small fraction, but at least we understand what we're battling now. And so, therefore, our next step is really getting the world to understand it also.
And you're going to have events for kids. You're starting out in Dallas, but you're going to do a tour. You're going to go to different cities. You're going to have events for kids. And you've got professional athletes. You've got law enforcement. You've got military, all sorts of people that will be in on these events. And how long will these events go? Are these going to be one-day, two-day events? What will they be like, Ron?
So the way that it works and the way that it's going to be productive is by getting something for everyone. So we have a part of it. It'll be an overall 2.5 days that will be in each community. When we come to the community, we'll have a community event. And what we've looked to accomplish with that community event is doing something that specifically fits that area. So we'll kick off our activities in Houston. And of course, we all know that they've went through an amazing travesty down there, and so trying to give back and be able to help, this was how I could do it, and this is how the people that are a part of our organization feel like they can help as well. So we'll kick it off in Houston. We'll have community activity that fits each and every area, and whatever that may be, and then from there we'll have corporate activities. The corporate gala will be a happy hour setup where we'll try our best to bring the best corporate groups, whether it be small business, whether it be our entrepreneurs or whether it be our Fortune 500 companies, together. Let them fellowship, let them network, and let us see what we can all do as far as just on a entertainment side, of course, to help that area. So in Houston, we'll have a happy hour gala. It'll last 2 or 3 hours, and then from there we'll be able to see what we need to do moving forward with our program as well as with those corporate groups. And then we'll have a full day. The following day will be a full day of events, activities, games, and learning amongst the kids, 7 to 17. We have an internship program so that we've been able to get that kicked off, and so that we get to reach those millennials, and they'll have their fit for the events and activities. And then, of course, we have the pro athletes, you know, finding the right pro athletes, not just the marquee name, but people that actually care and want to put their money where their mouth is, with their time, though, not necessarily with the dollar, but with their time. And there we will get to cover a couple different aspects. We'll get to cover athleticism, and that'll be for all 14 sports, whether it be team or individual. That'll be for education values of math, reading, and finance. We are working with the Global Financial Literacy Foundation out of Denver, Colorado, and by the name of Mr. Prince Dykes. He has the Investor Show, which is a very knowledgeable person. He's been in the financial business for a while, and he's also a military vet. So he's coming from a couple different angles. And then from there, we'll head to the next city. And over the summer, we'll look to visit roughly 20 cities, and hope that we're able to help and educate a lot of families, a lot of adults, and a lot of youth across the country.
Yeah, so you're going to help these kids, 7 to 17, learn some things that you found out about mentors pretty much to do, and you're going to be rallying these cities. So as you leave the city, you will have brought together business owners and other people in the community to make them more aware of what they can be doing probably on an ongoing basis. As we're coming up against a hard break here, Ron Davis, tell people where they can find your organization. What's the website they should go to?
So web-wise, you can find us at digsimpact.org. That's digsimpact.org. Social media, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. On Instagram, you can find us on oprep.usa. And on Facebook, you can find us at dig.digusa.
There we go. There we go. Because I'm sure there will be people listening who want to get information. They might have kids that want to be involved. They might want to be someone that needs to volunteer. They might be someone that wants some kids and give scholarships so kids can be part of this. It's a tremendous event. Ron Davis, Sr., I want to thank you for taking time to be on the show, telling us about what you're doing for these kids, and I thank you that you're doing that.
Tammy, I appreciate it. There's more than one way to make an impact in this country, And we felt as comfortable as we can to say that we have a great way of doing it. And so educating people and getting them involved has been our number one focus right now. So this is a great opportunity to put it out there to the world so that they can take those next steps to be involved.
Sounds fantastic. You take care, my friend.
Thank you. You have a great evening.
You too. The Tammy Jackson Show will be back after the break to... I've got some things I want to rant about, and let me tell you, the Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Dispatch's website. It's found at johnbiver.com. Dispatch's is an absolute treasure trove of resources to conservatives to fight and win the information war. That's Dispatch's at johnbiver.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Military life is rewarding, but it isn't always easy.
Managing the stress can affect even the strongest warrior.
But I can, I will stay mission ready.
I can, I will
keep my mind and body fit.
Talk to my chaplain.
Seek care early.
Strive for progress, not perfection.
I got this.
I got this.
Take the first step.
There's no better time than now.
Reaching out is a sign of strength. Visit realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
Welcome back for the final segment of the Tammy Jackson Show here on the 405 Media. It's been a great night with some pretty interesting guests, but I wanted to save a little time to rant about one of my pet topics. And of course, that would be the Second Amendment. We all know it's coming under fire right now. We have these students that are pretty much the puppets of the left that are protesting, although not one of them seems to really understand the Second Amendment. They all believe that they need to have their First Amendment rights, but then they talk about doing away with the Second Amendment rights. And if that's not bad enough, those puppets of the gun grabbers, now good old liberal Supreme has to weigh in on. Now, wait a minute. Refresh my memory, Tammy. John Paul Stevens was an assistant or an associate justice of the U.S. Supreme Court from 1975 until he retired in 2010. And right now, he's 97 years old. He's obviously experiencing some sort of psychotic break from the Constitution. And he wrote something, Second Amendment. Come on, buddy. Just be happy you're still alive on the planet. Don't make it miserable for the rest of us. I'm going to read a little something. This was written by a longtime fantastic columnist and journalist. He was a newspaper editor for years and years and years. He writes for us And he writes for himself, and we get to carry some of his articles at barbedwire.com. And this is going to be up tomorrow morning, but I'm going to read it tonight. So you're getting the world premiere of this article about what's going on, because Lee Dugan is fantastic when he writes these things. His humor and the way he calls things is spot on. Lee writes, damage done to the country. He is 10 1975 to 2010, retired, howling at the moon, liberal justice John Paul Stevens has just called for the repeal of our Second Amendment right to bear arms. Stevens, via who else, the New York Times, sides with this past weekend's gun control demonstrations orchestrated by, if you'll pardon the tautology, the Democratic Party and the news media. And he spells news N-O-O-Z-E. That's his way of giving them a little bit of hat. Demonstrators, he goes on to prate. Repeal of the Second Amendment. That, he says, would be a simple but dramatic action. Simple, no. The process of amending the Constitution was purposely designed to be slow and cumbersome and difficult. Dramatic, yes. Disarm all the law-abiding people in America in one fell swoop? If you think taking away the right to bear arms will in any way stop criminals, terrorists, and psychos from killing people, you have a non-functioning brain. But it would certainly make their jobs a lot easier. Stevens calls the Second Amendment a, quote, relic of the 18th century, end quote, when the states had to be assured of some protection against the central government. Did you hibernate through the entire 20th century? Have you successfully avoided ever reading or understanding a history book? Do you actually think the people don't need protection from the central government? If ignorance truly is bliss, every waking moment must be party time for Justice Stevens. But of course, he's a liberal. So to him, the people are merely a burden to be shouldered by big government, and they'd better just shut up and do as they're told because government knows best, etc. Ironically, Justice was appointed to the Supreme Court by Ford, a Republican, a dreadful violation of all truth in advertising laws. So there you have it, folks. That is from Lee Dugan. It will be up at barbedwire.com tomorrow. And he's given John Paul Stevens a little what for. I commend him for it because, you know what? Our Second Amendment rights, the founders knew that they were the teeth to the whole Bill of Rights. What's interesting, and I've spoken here in Oregon where they're trying to, as I speak, the Oregon Firearms Federation is daily sending out alerts as they're trying to pass bills that would confiscate our firearms. And I'm seeing more and more people repeating those five words from my cold, dead hands. The fact is, people here will not give up their guns. If you want to wake a sleeping giant, you try to take them away from us, even in liberal Oregon. Even here, people know the Second Amendment and love it. They will not give to the Looney Tunes, progressive Marxists, perverts who are running Portland, Oregon, and are ensconced in our state capitol. So if this liberal retired Associate Justice of SCOTUS thinks that the people of the United States, and those people own over 300 million guns, doing away with the Second Amendment will not automatically do away with those 300 million guns, most of which, probably 99.9% of which, are owned by law-abiding patriots who love this country and love Americans. So, if you think doing away with the Second Amendment will be easy, it won't be. As Lee Dugan told us, everything in the U.S. Constitution was put there for a reason, and unraveling it and undoing it is very tough, very time-consuming. It won't ever happen in our lifetimes, but we better all wake up and make sure it doesn't happen, because the way that they can control a populace is by disarming us. If you want to see the people of the United States really rise up like they did in 2016 when they elected someone who said he would enforce our laws, then you start telling them you're going to do away with our Bill of Rights and our Second Amendment rights. Because if we don't have the Second Amendment rights, you know the next rights to fall will be the First Amendment rights, and we will be the slaves of a totalitarian government if that ever happens. But it won't. I'm telling you right now, it will in this country that love the United States of America and will never allow their Second Amendment rights to be infringed. I hope everybody listens all angry. I'm one gal who is a concealed carry holder and told that I could no longer conceal what I would do. But let me tell you, I would obey the Constitution of the United States of America. God himself has given me the right to protect myself and my loved ones in innocence. And the has given for now, but there'll be more later. I'll be back next week with more. This is Tammy Jackson telling you to wake up. Don't be silent. Let your voice be heard, because we still have a country to save.
My teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth, and I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do, and the choir sang. A good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore, and this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence, you can't steal my voice, you can't. Silence, you can't steal my